Now, all over the world, this Shabbos is the 17th of Tammuz. All over the world, we're going to commemorate this fast on the 18th of Tammuz, this coming Sunday. In this part of the world, in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be reading Parshas Pinchas. And usually in Chutz Laaretz, Parshas Pinchas coincides with Bein HaMitzarim, the 3 weeks. This year is a little bit different, and things are a little bit behind, but that's generally... And the purpose of our study today is to try to figure out if there's any connection whatsoever between Parshas Pinchas and Bein HaMitzarim. The phrase Bein HaMitzarim, the three-week period beginning with Shivasa B'Tammuz, this Shabbos, and ending with Tisha B'Av, is called Bein HaMitzarim based on a pasuk at the beginning of Echa, Kol Rodfeha Hisigua Bein HaMitzarim. And this is the period of time that we call Avelus Yeshana, Avelus Filichurban Abayis. What is this mitzvah of Avelus about? It's basically Meitzar V'Doeg Al Churban Beis HaMikdash. These are two concepts, Meitzak and Doeg. Meitzar means we should feel anguish. It means that we should appreciate the great loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Doeg means we should worry about our vulnerability. In the loss, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, the people of Israel are much more exposed to adversaries who could really, chas v'shalom, destroy us. So this is a period of time in which we have to think about the causes of the Churban, to appreciate the great enormity of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, and moreover, to understand what Golus is all about. Now, I opened up with a question connecting Pinchas to 17th of Tammuz and to the 3 weeks. Why would anyone want to even raise such a question? Wouldn't it be fair to say that Parshas Pinchas is the next parsha that we're ready to read here in Eretz Yisrael, and it happens by chance to coincide with the beginning of Bein HaMitzarim? But the answer to that, and to explain our question, is a Gemara at the end of Megillah. The Gemara at the end of Megillah formulates the principle that Ezra had in front of him a calendar, he had in front of him the parshiyos of the Torah, and he correlated them. This was not a matter of chance, of coincidence. This was a deliberate decision that every parsha should be read in its proper time. And in the case of Parshas Pinchas, as I said, in a normal year, even in Chutz Laaretz, and this year here in Eretz Yisrael, Pinchas coincides with Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. There must be some answer to the question in terms of Ezra, what was he trying to accomplish? Let's talk about Pinchas. There's an amazing Targum Yonasan at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, and we're going to find a similar idea, perhaps even more embellished, in the Medrash in Pinchas and Yalkut. Let's read the Pesukim. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heishives Chamasi Me'al Bnei Yisrael, Bekin Oes Kinasi B'Tocham, V'lo Chilisi Es Bnei Yisrael Bekinasi, Lachen, Emor, Hineni Nosein Lo Es Brisi Shalom. The great reward that's bestowed by God upon Pinchas as a result of his kana'ut is brisi shalom, some sort of covenant of peace. We want to understand what is the meaning of brisi shalom. There's no question that the pasuk is telling us that Pinchas was at a very critical moment in Jewish history. It was a moment in which Hashem, Bikinoes Kinasi, wanted to express his wrath against the people of Israel. That's called Chema, Chamasi. And Pinchas, instead of allowing this situation to go on, he did an act of Kanos, and therefore Velochi Lisi Espinei Yisrael. He saved the people of Israel. Says Targum Yonasan, and I'm going to read its Hebrew version. Esprisi shalom, hareni koresimo esprisi shalom esenu malach. I will make him into an angel. Kayam, alive, the Yichyeh Li'olam, and he'll live for all eternity. And the Targum doesn't end there. He goes on and asks the question, why? Why is it necessary for Pinchas to remain alive? And the answer is that Pinchas has a very unique responsibility and role, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time to try to understand that role. It's called Levaser al Hagula b'Achris Hayom. So we have a concept called Mevaser. You may remember that word either from clapping on Oshana Rabbah, you know, when we're ready to say Kol Mevaser, Mevaser V'Yomer. You may remember the name Mevaser because of Mevaseret Tzion, which is going to be one of the haftaras we'll read after the nine-day period. This concept of being Mevaser, the Mevaser Ge'ul. Now, on one level, Mevaser means he's going to tell us that Mashiach is coming. On a deeper level, Mevaser means someone who's going to prepare you for some very spectacular event. Before we go on to ask that question, what is the responsibility of Pinchas? How will he prepare us for the Geula? We want to take a look at a Yalkut Shimoni, which is very similar, but a little bit of an embellishment of what we saw in Targum Yonasan. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. You know, we're really talking about a first-class Amora, probably one of the greatest Amoraim that we ever had, and that's Reish Lakish. Pinchas hu Elio. You know, we've all heard this statement that Pinchas Elio, but maybe it's my ignorance I'm wearing on my sleeve here that I never knew it was a statement of Reish Lakish. You know, if you told me it was a czar somewhere or an Arizal, you know, that I would accept. But Reish Lakish, that really shocks us. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what God tells Pinchas. Ata nasata shalom bein Yisrael ubeini olam hazeh. You have cemented a peaceful, harmonious relationship between me and the people of Israel. It was at the breaking point. That relationship was going to terminate, chas v'shalom, but Pinchas saved the day. And that is a kind of brisi shalom. Shalom meaning to reconnect two people who once had a close relationship and that relationship went sour. As a result, Hashem says, if you establish brisi shalom, nasata shalom beini levein Yisrael, I will give you shalom. Af liasid lavo atohu shasid litein shalom beini uvein banai. You will play that role to bring peace, to reconnect myself, says God, with my children. And now, where do we find this concept of a mevaser shalom? That's in the pasuk referring to Eliyahu Hanavi in Malachi at the end of Tanakh. Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Eliyahu Hanavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem Veishiv Levavos Al Banim. When the Medrash in the name of Reish Lakish identifies Pinchas as Eliyahu, this is an extension, if you will, of what we saw in the Targum Yonasan. Targum Yonasan says that you deserve Pinchas the Brisi Shalom, and hence you will be a Malach HaKayim Li'olam, and you will be the Mevaser of the Geula which creates peace and connects Klal Yisrael to their Creator. And that's why Reish Lakish, when he wants to identify this great reward of Brisi Shalom, he quotes a pasuk in Malachi, which refers to Eliyahu HaNavi. Because he's trying to prove that any psukim that describe Eliyahu HaNavi, v'hine anochi sholech lechem es Eliyahu HaNavi lifnei bo yom Hashem, as the mevaser of the geula, that is Pinchas. Now I can't tell you whether it means that physically in this there it's one body. You know, the body of Pinchas is the body of Eliyahu. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Is it a Gilgul Neshama? Or is it that Pinchas just changes his name when he becomes a Malach and he becomes Eliyahu? I don't know. But one thing I do know, that Pinchas Eliyahu, that that, let's call it a harkava, when you put one on top of the other, what you get is the Mavaser HaGeula. Although the Pasuk explicitly mentions Eliyahu as the Mavaser HaGeula, but both Targum Yonasan and Reish Lakish in the Medrash Yalkut identify Pinchas as the Mavaser HaGeula. So how can we reconcile this? Who is the ultimate Mavaser HaGeula? Is it Pinchas? That's what's indicated by Brisi Shalom according to these commentaries. Or is it Eliyahu, which is explicit in the Pasuk in Malachi? And the answer is Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Both of these are correct. Pinchas is the Mavaser HaGeula and Eliyahu is the Mavaser HaGeula. And that's based on the identification, as Reish Lakish formulates it, Pinchas, who? Eliyahu. And if this be the case, maybe we can answer our question about why Ezra Sofer was very eager that Parshas Pinchas should be read at this time of the year here in Eretz Yisrael on the 17th of Tammuz, initiating the period of time of Bein HaMitzarim. Because Bein HaMitzarim is not only about Avelus, it's not only about being Meitzar V'Doeg Al Churban Beis HaMikdash, but there's another element that we have to add into the equation, and that's the ultimate Geula. That the Bein HaMitzarim is a period of time in which we have a unique and a very intense responsibility. Again, this responsibility applies all year round, but it becomes very intense and very demanding during these 3 weeks. What is our special requirement during the 3 weeks? If you ask any yeshiva bacha, he'll tell you it's Avelus. But now we have a different perspective, and that is Tzipisa LiYeshua. The flip side of Avelus is the longing for the ultimate Geula. And if we want to bring about the Geula, if we want to rush the harbinger of Geula, meaning the Mavaser HaGeula, then this is something that we want to do during this period of time. So in order to explain the reading of Parshas Pinchas as it coincides with this period of time established by Ezra, I'm going to ask you a very simple question. And you'll all give me the answer unanimously. Why do we blow on Rosh Hashanah a shofar shel ayil? Correct, because the ayil is representative of the Akedah. So there's a concept that we come in front of Hashem to, again, I hate to use this word, so we'll put it in inverted commas, kaviyochol, to remind Hashem of a great tzchus. On Rosh Hashanah, when we desperately need God's judgment in favor of us continuing our work, we try to show to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Jewish nation is the nation of Kiddush Hashem, of Mesiris Nefesh, of the Akedah, that we ourselves are descendants and have acquired the legacy of a Yitzchak Avinu at the Akedah. We blow a shofar shel ayil lahazkir zchuso shel Yitzchak Avinu shel Akedas Yitzchak. So too, we're going to read Pinchas. People don't realize that by reading Pinchas, we are describing the great Mesiris Nefesh of Pinchas. Imagine a man who basically puts everything on the line, his entire future, his reputation, and perhaps even his life at that moment, because who knows what's going to be the response to his killing the Nasi of Shevet, Zimri ben Sol, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon. And yet he's willing to do this. Why? Because out of his sense of love for Klal Yisrael, he wants to spare Klal Yisrael. This is not a personal vendetta. This is not Pinchas with any sort of revenge. This is Pinchas in order to create a Brisi Shalom, to repair a broken relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So we're going to read Parshas Pinchas. And in so doing, we're going to declare in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Pinchas was your great shliach. He was a person who was willing to take it upon himself to fulfill this great mission for which he was designated. And even if it meant putting his life on the line. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask you to send Pinchas as the Mavaser HaGeula to tell us that in his chus, his great tzidkus, his great piety, bring about the Achris HaYomim And now Pinchas is the Mavaser Agula. He's going to teach us how to prepare for the ultimate Geula. And the next part of our discussion will be about the month of Tammuz and how Tammuz is a preparation for the Geula. But I warn you, if you come from a pure Litvish background and you're what we used to call, I hate to use this pejorative term, a Kalto Litvak, you might not appreciate the next part of the Shia because it's very heavy Hasidish. But you know what? I always say, let's learn from the Hasidim. We may not sign on. I'm not sure if everyone here is going to become an Apta Chassid at the end of this or a Radinska Chassid, but there's so much to learn. You know, I was the Rosh Yeshiva for a long time in a yeshiva called Mevaseret Zion. And the Israeli members of the Kolel, they have a Kolel of, at that time at least, there were 70 members of the Kolel, were very Zionistic. I mean, Yom HaTzma'ut was like, I can only tell you, it was like the Arabian Nights. I mean, it was just wild. And I dafka wanted to put a yeshiva in that environment because 90%, unfortunately, of all these boys are going back to Chutz Laretz. Some are going to university, York, I don't know, different colleges. And I was afraid that unless they get a very strong dosage of love for Eretz Yisrael, then it's very easy to just forget about your year in Israel. So I wanted to expose them to that intensity. And there's no more intense place for Yom HaTzmahut than Mevaseret Zion. Wild. I mean, again, if I would tell my Rebbe what went on Yom HaTzmahut and Mevaseret, he would literally think I was crazy. But it's a heavy dosage. So let's get a little bit of a dosage of a Hasidish approach. We start with a story that apparently took place between two of the great Hasidic lights. One was the Regina, and the other was the Apta. The Apta Rav is famous for his work called Oev Yisrael. His name was Heschel. And the two Gedolim found themselves together on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz for what's called a Hitva Adut, otherwise known as Fabrengen. And of course, in a Hasidish of Fabrengen, especially when there are two great giants of Hasidus, they bring out Yayin, they bring out Mashke. And Kedarkam Shalat Tzadikim, they bring out a certain number of Mashkim. Now you and I might say, well, who cares how many bottles there are? The question is, how many can you drink? But like Chassidim, the numbers are very important. This has to do with a concept which is way beyond my understanding called Yichudim. Yichudim has to do with names of God and how to put together different names. And a lot of it has to do with numbers. So they had a discussion, the two Gedolim, and the Regina asked the following: please bring out seven. How do you say in English? Bakbukim.
Bottles.
Seven bottles of wine. And the Apta Rav is going to bring out six bottles of wine. So we've got seven and we've got six. And the question is, why was the Regina so makpid on these numbers? So the Apta Rav was called upon to say a Dvar Torah, and he tried to reveal the deeper meaning in these numbers of bottles of wine. In other words, he was trying to guess what was the Regina Rebbe thinking. So he quoted a Tosfos in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, who in turn quotes a Yerushalmi, that says, Shemos Chadoshim Olu B'yodam Mibavel. What that means is that the names of the 12 months of the Hebrew calendar are not just coincidental, these are not just simply Persian names, but these were names that were brought from Bavel to the ultimate Golus all over the world, because there's meaning to every single name. So that really puts a whole new spin on the names of the 12 months of the year. It almost gives the names of the 12 months a status of Torah. And we know that when you look at a word in the Torah, it's hafokpa vafokpa. You can darshan it, you can take it apart, you can take a letter here, a letter there, put it all together, find the shoresh, you can talk about gematria, you can talk about numerical value. Now we're taking the 12 names of the 12 months of the year, which were Olu Mibavel. They went out of their way to take it out of the Golus in order to give us a new meaning. What is the meaning of the name Tammuz? Shoresh HaChurban, the root of all our problems, which is inherent in the 17th of Tammuz, is Chet HaEgel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares in the aftermath of the Chet, the terrible sin of the Egel, Ubiyom Pakadati, whenever I bring punishment upon the Jews, then Pakadati Alehem Eschatosam, I'm going to remember this sin. And Rashi says the following, that although there'll be other sins, and unfortunately there'll be guilt for those sins, but nevertheless, in addition to the peronials, the payment and the punishment for those sins, there'll be a little bit of ma'at, mina onesh, of the avon of the Chet HaEgel. Now, the Chet HaEgel really begins not on the 17th of Tammuz, but on the 16th of Tammuz, and we're going to explain why. There's a typo here, which I'd like you to correct if you happen to have printed out the page. It mistakenly writes that the Chet HaEgel was on the 15th of Tammuz. That's incorrect. It's on the 16th of Tammuz. In the rest of the essay, he corrects that. But for some reason, this got by. Now, on the 16th of Tammuz, which was just a few hours before Moshe Rabbeinu actually came down from the mountain, the Jewish people had miscalculated, and they thought that if you calculate 40 days from the moment that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Har, to the mountain, then what you end up with is midday on the 16th of Tammuz. How is that so? The pasuk says the following: Vayar ha'am ki boshesh Moshe. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Pei Tes says the following: Al Tikra Al Tikri Boshesh Ela Boshesh. The sixth hour came. On a perfect day, that would mean 11 a.m. going into noon. B'Shosh Ola Moshe Lamaro. Moshe goes up the mountain on the seventh of Sivan, the day after Matan Torah. Amar Lehem Yisrael. Listen to the words of Moshe to Klal Yisrael. L'sof arboim yom. L'sof arboim yom means that if Moshe Rabbeinu went up at a certain hour on the 7th of Sivan, we count 40 days from that hour. And if that be the case, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain at noon on the 7th of Sivan. If we calculate 40 days from that moment, we will end up on the 16th of Tammuz at noon. And all this is hinted, according to Gemara and Shabbos, by the word boshesh. Boshesh means, again, normally we translate as he delayed, but here it means boshesh. What happened at that period of time? Klal Yisrael were already getting nervous. 40 days have passed. Where's Moshe? But the clincher, as always, is the Satan. The Satan confuses the whole world. Bas Satan ve'irbev es ha'olam. And what he shows them is a vision of Moshe dead. Amar lehem, Moshe Rabchem heichanu. Where is your Moshe Rabbeinu, your Rebbe? And they answer, olam aram. Amar lehem bo sheish. V'loshkihu olam. They didn't pay any attention. They realized that something was going wrong, but they weren't willing to throw in the towel. Where's Moshe? We don't know. But then, this clever guy called the Satan says, Mace, you know where your Rebbe is? He died. Lo ishkichu olav. They still thought that we have to have faith. But then, herolehem dmus mitaso. He was able to somehow conjure up a vision in the sky of a coffin. Kizeh Moshe Ish Boshesh. In other words, at what point did they finally throw in the towel when they saw Kaviyochel, the Mita of Moshe Rabbeinu? How do we see from this a symbolic meaning to the name of the month Tammuz? In other words, Moshe went up on the 7th of Sivan. We're holding now on the 16th of Tammuz. And here is when the people, midday, are going to throw in the towel and they can demand of Aaron to create a god, a deity, a physical idol, and they're going to worship that idol. The name Tammuz, says the Apter Rav, is meant to be chopped up. The first two letters of the name Tammuz make up the word Tam. And then we have a Vav, and then we have a Zayin. This deeper meaning of Tammuz is a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, as I said at the outset, we think mistakenly that the theme of Tammuz exhausts itself in Avelus, but it's not so. There's another theme. We spoke about Tzipis LeYeshua. Now we're speaking about Tefillah. And we're asking Hashem that He should Tam. Tam means to complete. In this context, it means to put aside. Don't pay attention. We're finished with the Vav and the Zayin. Put it on the back burners. Bury it in the annals of history. What is the Vav and what is the Zayin? Vav is the moment at the beginning of the sixth hour when the people of Israel started getting nervous. They're looking at their sun clocks and they're beginning to say, wow, it's almost midday. Where is Moshe Rabbeinu? By the time Zion comes around, which is midday, the Satan has them absolutely wrapped around his finger, convinced that Moshe's gone. We're asking Hashem Tam. Tam is Miloshon Tefillah. Tam is Miloshon, finish it up. Put it behind you. Yitom Yisrael Cheta Ega. We're asking Hashem in the month of Tammuz, Yitom Miloshon Tam. Yitom, let it be complete. Whatever happened, it happened. And that's the Cheta Ega. It's a complete story. Finito, it ended. Now let's go on in life. No longer should we be suffering the bitter gullus because of what happened in Tammuz, because of the Cheta Ega. Let's put the Cheta Ega behind us. Says the Apter Rav, I now understand why the Rajina Rebbe wanted 7 bottles and 6 bottles. Because this is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. And on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, he wanted us to know that the two key numbers are 6 and 7, the Vav and the Zayin of the word Tammuz. Tam, Vav to Zayin. Let us put behind us, bury the hatchet on the Vav and the Zayin of the 16th of Tammuz. And if by chance you're following me in the text, we're now going to start the very next page. There's a significance to these numbers and these hours of the day, the 6th and the 7th hour. And for that, of course, we have to learn Masechta Pesachim. Not all of Masechta Pesachim, but just part of it. And that's the mitzvah of Tashbisu, which is analyzed on Daf Yud Aleph on the base of Masechta Pesachim. And when we say Vayaram ki Boshesh Moshe, we're talking about Boshesh, meaning Boshesh. Then let's think about the significance of Boshesh and how we bridge to the 7th hour. On Erev Pesach, the Mishnah establishes Sorfin. I'm going to add a few words to the Mishnah Sachomet. B'tchilas sheish. At the beginning of the 6th hour, we should already be involved in burning the chametz. We are anticipating the beginning of the 7th hour, which is noon. And the beginning of the 7th hour is the time in which the Torah prohibits any possession over chametz. Now, what does the destruction of chametz have to do with the month of Tammuz? We're finding that we're burning the chametz in the sixth hour, so that we'll be chametz free at the beginning of the seventh hour. We found that in Tammuz there's a vav and a zayin at the end of the word, and that is that very agonizing and historical, in a negative sense, notoriously historical passageway between the sixth hour and the seventh hour. But it goes even deeper than that. Chametz, in all of mystical thinking, is a reference to the power of the evil inclination. In the case of Klal Yisrael, which members, or which group, if we could say, which segment of Klal Yisrael represented and personified this concept of the Satan, of the Machti? That was the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav is equivalent to Chametz. And Chametz represents Hichtiu Es Yisrael. It was the Erev Rav who were most affected and impacted by the vision that the Satan presented of Mitas of Shemosha. Not only were they impressed, not only were they impacted, but moreover, they used it as an excuse. If they wanted to rabble rouse and they wanted to get the people to give up on Moshe Rabbeinu and replace him with a different deity, all they had to do was to point to Mitas of Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, to that vision that the Satan had generated up in Shemayim. And now we begin to understand the Zohar that speaks the language of Nistar, that the Erev Rav wanted to be Mafrid, wanted to separate Klal Yisrael from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the number 6 and 7. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Manigas HaOlam. Out of a great sense of humility, the divine being gets involved in our world, in our physical world. And how does he relate to our world? How does he control our world and dominate over our world? Through the power of Sheish, of 6. What are those 6? These are the great midos: Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. What's missing here is number 7. There are 7 midos. Knesset Yisrael is the 7th mida, is the mida of Malchus. The Shoresh of Klal Yisrael and then Neshama is the mida of Malchus. They are the ones who understand what Malchus is all about. And the Brits claim that you have to go see the changing of the guard in Buckingham Palace. I don't know. But what I can tell you is that we, Klal Yisrael, are invested with the powers of Malachi HaShores, just like the Malachi HaShores are Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis. So too, we, like the Malachim, through our dedication to mitzvahs and to our dedication to the study of Torah, we are Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Klal Yisrael the hand, into our hands, Malchus. And this Malchus is meant to be used by Klal Yisrael, to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when we go from 6 to 7, we are going from the 6 midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His Hanhaga to the ultimate midah of Klal Yisrael, the 7th midah of Malchus, to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Erev Rav wanted to create a pirud. They wanted a wedge between the number 6, which represents the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the number 7, which is a personification of the people of Israel. And therefore the Egel on the agenda of the Erev Rav was absolutely critical. Let's use the opportunity to get Klal Yisrael to be Chote, to separate and distance themselves from Almighty God. And that's going to be the Egel. And when will that moment take place? After the 6th hour, before the 7th hour, during that period, that transitional period from morning to afternoon, that 1 hour, that 6 to 7, that represents the 6 midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the 7th is Malchus, that's in the hands of Klal Yisrael. And to break up that connection and separate between the 6 and the 7, that is the most dangerous thing you could do, because that means that Klal Yisrael are going to be alienated, chas v'shalom, from the Shechina, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, left alone to face all the adversaries, whether they be physical conditions, spiritual conditions, all the challenges. They'll be there. And Klal Yisrael desperately leads HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's conditional on a dveikus relationship. If there's yichud between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, that means the sixth hour, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the seventh hour representing Klal Yisrael, are bridged together. There's a very powerful connection between the two, and it's only the Erev Rav that wants to burn, that wants to bomb up that bridge. And the key of keys, from their perspective, their agenda, is going to be the Egel. The Egel is Avodah Zorah. Why is it that Avodah Zorah is the paradigm of breaking the relationship between the Jewish nation and Almighty God? Why not give other mitzvahs, which are just as chamur, and maybe even more chamur? And the answer is because Avodah Zorah, by its very essence, is meant to break the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. And that's where the Erev Rav wanted to come in. The Erev Rav wanted to create Azah Pirud between 6 and 7, that the people would be ready to worship an Egel and violate Avodah Zorah. That's going to be something that will occur between the 6th hour and the 7th hour. I'd like you to fast forward to the middle column on page 2. The name of Tammuz, according to the Darshei HaRishumos, which probably means the Igra Dekala, is a Nutrika and is Rashi Tevis for Zmane Tshuva Mimashmashin Uboin. You'll take a look at the first letter in each of these four words, and you'll scramble them together, and you'll end up with the word Tammuz. Zmane Tshuva Mimashmashin Uboin. We're already getting heavy into the time of Tshuva. Tshuva begins officially with Rosh Chodesh Elul, and it ends officially sometime either before Sukkot or after Sukkot. Those are the moments, those are the weeks on the Hebrew calendar year which are dedicated exclusively to Tshuva. And those are the days before Elul, and especially, of course, during Elul. In this context, we can begin to see what the message of Tammuz is all about. To recreate that relationship to Shekhinah, that close, intimate relationship, because something broke down and something wedged between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's between the letter Vav and the letter Zion. And we have to worry about this, and especially during Tammuz. We are already involved in the mitzvah. The main calendar date of the mitzvah is going to be in Elul, but now begins the kickoff of, let's call it the preseason kickoff of the time for Tshuva. The time for Tshuva is officially Elul. We want to get started, an early bird, with Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and for sure with Shivasu B'Tammuz. These are the key dates that will project us through the 3 weeks and bring us to Elul and Tshuva. We have to start now. Now! Now is the time for Tshuva, because Chodesh Tammuz is Zmanei Tshuva Mimashmashin Uboin. They're coming around the bend. When I mentioned to you the shofar before, I meant it. We already have to be thinking about the shofar. It's not that long, not like that far down the line. Tammuz is a reminder that we have to think about Elul and about Aseres Yemei Tshuva, because Zmanei Tshuva Mimash Mishin Uboin. Tammuz and Av, which are bridged together by the period known as Bein HaMetzarim, represent a unit of two elements. And the Navi says, Eini, Eini, Yardamayim. Why the double language, Eini, Eini? And the Kuznetz says the following, V'hine, B'chadoshim Elu, during these 2 months of Tammuz and Av, Tzarech kol Adam lishmar es atzmo shlo yipol mimadrigoso. These are tough months, hot months, in the calendar. And it's very easy during these hot months, when school is out, we're all on vacation,
In America, you have what's called Labor Day. I'm sure Canada has a few different days. For every day in America, they have five in Canada. I lost track of all the days over there. I just knew that every Muntik and Darnishnik, they had some sort of a day off. I was always thinking, anybody work in Canada? Anyway, so these are 2 months called Tammuz and Av. Tammuz and Av, says the Koshnitz Magid, are parallel, they correspond at the beginning of Eicha, Eini, Eini, Yarda Mayim. This Mayim are the salty, hot tears that we shed over the Avelus, over the loss of the Bate Mikdashos. And he says that during these 2 months, because of their structure within the calendar, and because of their climactic conditions, and the fact that these are off months, when there's unfortunately not that much learning going on, there's a lot of vacationing going on, and the summer camps, and the vacations from work, there's a tremendous challenge and a danger. These are the lowest months on the year. And therefore, during these months, we have to crank it up. We have to intensify our dedication to tshuva. And the pasuk says, Bris karati lienai, mayas bonan al basula. What does this pasuk mean? It's a pasuk in Iyov. Ki miderech ha'olam lizbonein v'loshev Hashem b'chodesh elul hamuchan l'tshuva. And that's the mayas bonein al basula, that's the month of elul. But bris karisi lienai, for these two enayim, says the Koshnitz, so these two enayim in the pasuk of bris karisi lienai are allusions to the two eyes of these 2 months of Tammuz and Av. And therefore, although we dedicate ourselves the entire year to serve Hashem, but we need to be specially careful, Shomeres Atzmo, during these months of Tammuz and Av. When people are taking off, they're dropping out, so to speak, from service to Hashem, we have to intensify our work, our dedication. I'm not saying we don't go on vacation. This is the time of the year that we have Bein Hazmanim. But nevertheless, we have to go with Bein Hazmanim with a very sincere and serious mindset. We have to be very careful where we go, what we do. We should spend maybe parts of the morning, if not the entire morning, in learning, and then go out for fun. That's the key of Koreis Bris Im Hashem. You want to get into a covenantal relationship with God? That's what you're striving for? Then, you know what? Start building it up during these 2 months of Tammuz and Av. And then you reach your fruition in the month of Elul, in the month of Brisi, Karati, Lienai, Maizbonan, Ala Basula. Because the month of Elul is Muchan u'Mizuman. It's dedicated for the sake of Avodas Hashem. Yesterday, I was learning the Pelioetz. It's a sefer, a Musa sefer from 2 centuries ago. And he addresses the question of fasting. We're talking about self-accepted fasting, which is totally voluntary. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? And he says that it could be that during certain times of the year, we should dedicate ourselves more towards fasting, even if it means it's at the expense of our intensity in learning. When you're fasting, it's very hard to concentrate. And a person wants to dedicate himself to learn Torah B'iyun in an in-depth way, fasting could be a great interference. So dedicate certain times of the year, certain months of the year, for this dedication to fasting and to doing tshuva, even if it means that during that time of the year, you're going to have to diminish, to some extent, your ability to be misasik in Torah. What time of the year would be a good recommendation? And I was thinking, in the light of the Koshnitz Magid, perhaps the months of Bein Hazmanim, of Tammuz, and especially Av, those are great months to perhaps diminish our learning for the sake of reaching higher and higher levels. of spirituality in achievements, and that's perhaps the deeper meaning in this pasuk in Iyov that we're studying now. The Koreis Brisim Hashem. Again, he identifies the ultimate month of Bris to be El. But again, you can't just jump into El. He has to be Muchan Umezum El Avodas Hashem Mikodem, before El. And when? Where should he put his emphasis? Where should he put the marbles? On these 2 months of Tammuz and Av, which are low down on the totem pole. And he has to elevate them. And even if he goes out on vacation, as I said before, he should dedicate himself to Avodas Hashem and have in mind the intention that whatever enjoyment he gets, it's to recharge his battery, so he wants to be an Oved Hashem. And therefore, if the months of Tammuz and Av are dedicated to preparing ourselves for the Avodas Hashem, how much more so El, which is the highest level of Kedusha, that's what it means. Brisi Karasi Lienai. And what it means is, I'm going to be Kores Bris Lienai, for my 2 eyes, the eyes of Tammuz and Av. These are the months that are called Einayim, Eini Eini Yoredomayim. And therefore, Ma Esbonin Al Besula, I can now contemplate entering into El. The Mazel of El is Besula, with great preparation, because I've dedicated myself to the Eini Eini of Avodas Hashem, of Tshuva, of sincerity in my dedication to God during these 2 months of Tammuz and Av. But here, my friends, we have to ask the following question. The Gemara tells us in Yuma, Gedola Tshuva Shemeviyas HaGeula. The great power of tshuva is to bring the geula. Where do we find tshuva in the month of Tammuz, above and beyond the rest of the year? The Rabban paskins, Ein Yisrael Nig'olim Ela B'tshuva. The month of Tammuz, which kicks off the Yimei Bein HaMitzarim, during which the Churban of Ayis transpired not once but twice, these are the times that we should be contemplating tshuva. Because we have acknowledged that it is during these 2 months that all the, and the epitome, all the stages of Churban came about, one after the other. And this happened not only in the first base of Mikdash, but in the second. So it makes sense now that we want to dedicate Tammuz as the beginning of Yimei Hatzarim to Tshuva. Because during this period of time, we were guilty of a great sin. So it's during this period of time of Tammuz that we have to try to reconnect the Vav to the Zayin, reestablish that unity. And that we're going to do through Tshuva, the Tshuva of Chodesh Tammuz, because Tammuz means Mani Tshuva Memash Meshin Uboin, and it's a remez, as we said before, to the fact that this is a month of Tshuva. With the pasuk Ubiyom Pakadati, God says, "I will remember the Chet HaEgel." As we saw in Rashi, an additional punishment for the Chet HaEgel when God is meeting out punishment. What's the connection between Chet HaEgel and all other sins? Why is it that in every sin Hashem reminds Himself of the Chet HaEgel? The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lo Asu Yisrael Segel Eliton Pischen Pelabali Tshuva. I don't know if you were with me when we discussed the concept called Nora Alilos. Does it ring any bell?
Not yet.
Nora Alilos means that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring about a situation, a very difficult test, because He wants actually that we should fail the test. And as paradoxical as that sounds, it's because it's part of a divine plan. That something is to be gained and benefit from the sin. We spoke about Chet Adam HaRishon, and we spoke about it's not coming to me. But anyway, Nora Lilos. Here's another case of Nora Alilos. Om Rabbi Shimon Levi also Yisrael Se'egel Elita and Pischon Pele Bali Tshuva. In other words, Klal Yisrael wouldn't have really, on their own, worshipped the Egel. Lo Ha Yisrael Ruuyim Lo So Maisa. So what was God's purpose? Why did God have, so to speak, a vested interest that we should fall and violate this terrible avera? Lahoros tshuva l'rabin. Rashi says that generation were giborim u'shlitim b'yitzrah. Lo hayuroy l'skaber yitzrah aleim, says Rashi. There in Avodah Zarah. El gzeras hamelech oisa. This was part of a divine plan. Kedelitam pischon pelabali tshuva. Shem yomar hachote lo ashuv shalo yikableni. I passed all the red lines. I don't have a chance to do tshuva. Omrim lo tsei ulamad mi maisa ego. Even after this terrible sin, Klal Yisrael were miskaper and their tshuva was accepted. So any time that a Jew sins, there's a his a his excuse me. A hisorus of the chet ha'egel. If the Jews do tshuva when they sin, then they have a right to say we learned the lesson of the chet ha'egel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts that tshuva. If they don't do tshuva, then they're going to be punished because of the chet ha'egel. They did not derive the lesson of the chet ha'egel that God accepts tshuva and kapara even for the most severe of sins. And if chas v'sholem they don't do tshuva, then they deserve an extra punishment because they didn't derive the conclusion and learn the lesson from the chet ha'egel about the importance of tshuva and the possibility of tshuva. Lo ha'isa shum to'elis b'mesh yisiv ha'kodesh baruch hu she'ikashlu b'chet ha'egel ha'oros l'tshuva. If on the other hand they don't do tshuva, then Hashem says, you know, what was the whole purpose? I brought about the chet ha'egel so that you would learn how to do tshuva. Is therefore Hashem says, b'yom pakti, when I remember their sin, I'll remember that they didn't do tshuva, and I'll remember the chet ha'egel. They didn't learn the lesson from the chet ha'egel that there is an urgent necessity to do tshuva. And now we understand the connection between the concept of Tammuz and the Rashi Tevis of Tammuz. The concept of Tammuz, as we saw before, from the Rajina, is Tam Vav Zion. And that's a remez that we have to be metaking the Chet Ha'egel during this month and connect the Vav with the Zion and not create this breakage between the first six and the seven. And that also is inherent in the other remez for the name Tammuz of Zmanei Tshuva Mimashmish and Uboim. Both of these remezim are equal. They are synthesized to teach us that this is a month of Tikkun Chet Ha'egel. If we were guilty of the Chet Ha'egel in Tammuz, then Tammuz is the month that's dedicated to Tikkun, to Tshuva, and the purpose of the Egel was Lahoros Tshuva L'Rabim, that we should learn and imitate the Tshuva of the Rabim. And therefore, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember us during Tammuz, and that we remember that the month of Tammuz is a month of tshuva, of Zmani tshuva, mamash b'shin u'boim, that we have to make a tikkun on the Chet Ha'egel, and instead of breaking the Vav from the Zion, we have to put it all together under the word Tammuz. We begin to understand now why Pinchas is going to play such a major role. Because no saying Brisi Shalom. Take a look at the Brisi Shalom over here. If you write Vav in Shalom, right, the two ways of writing Shalom, one with a Vav and one without a Vav, if you put the Vav into Shalom, then Mikutas, what you end up is with a Vav that's not really a Vav, it's Mikutas. And the one who discovered this was the Baal HaTurim, but we don't have time now for the Baal HaTurim. I'm going to end here on the bottom right column of page Gimel. And Amir Tz Hashem, hopefully, will be able to finish this up at a different time. Let's get back to our original question, why Ezra Sofer orchestrated that Pinchas should be read by at the entrance to Bein HaMetzorim. The Pasuk says, L'chein emar, hinini no sein lo es b'si shalom, and lichtov es ha'os vav, b'teva shalom vav k'tua. There's a Mesorah that we write the vav as a vav k'tua. What does this mean? It's almost as if there's half of the letter vav. Says the Baal HaTurim, vav k'tua, ki Pinchas hu Eliyahu, v'chein Eliyahu, k'siv chaser vav. It doesn't always say Eliyahu, sometimes it just says Elya, Aleph, Lamed, Yud, Hey. And that's called Chaser Vav. Yaakov, on the other hand, is written Mole in a few places. And the Vav is added between the Kuf and the Beis. And the Vav, which Yaakov Avinu takes from Eliyahu on six occasions, is a Mashkon. It's a collateral that Eliyahu will come and be Mavasa the Gula. He shouldn't be disappointed and despaired and give up hope and say, well, Klal Yisrael is in such a matzav, they're not really up on top, and therefore why should I be Mavasa the Gula? So Yaakovinu is Mechayev him, so to speak. He takes his arm and twists it, and he says, I'm going to take the vav of your name. You'll only get it back from me when there's a geula. And the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yogel Yaakov Yismach Yisrael, and Yismach are the same four letters as Mashiach. And it means Yismach Limos HaMashiach. When Yimos HaMashiach come around and Eliyahu has fulfilled his mission, then the Yachzir HaVav, the Yiyah Eliyahu Sholem. And Sholem means Sholem, and Sholem B'Gmatshi is Mashiach. So it means that when it says, V'Zacharti SBC Yaakov, V'Yafis B'C Yitzchak, V'Yafis B'C Avraham is Kar, V'Aretz is Kar, Rashi says that the reason why the name Yaakov is written with a Vav, which is very strange, is because B'Chamisha Mekomos Nichtav Yaakov Mole, I may have mistakenly said six, it's five, and Velio Chaser, V'chamisha mekomos Yaakov notal eshmo shel Eliyahu. He takes the os vav of Eliyahu as an iravon, as collateral. Sheyavo v'yavaseh geula lebonav. Says the Baal HaTurim, that's what it means when it says hinini nosein lo as brisi shalom, and the vav of shalom is a vav kitua. It's an imperfect, incomplete vav. That's a remez to the fact that Pinchas will be Zocher to be Eliyahu, whose Os Vav was taken away by Yaakov Avinu as a collateral, Iravon, that he, Eliyahu, will come to be Mavasa the Geula. And we can begin to understand what it means, Hinenino Sein Lo SBC Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Pinchas that he will become Eliyahu. And it's for this reason that we add the vav of shalom. I'm sorry, that the vav of shalom is ketia, is incomplete, as a remez to Eliyahu HaNavi that Yaakov took from him the letter vav in his name. And Yaakov is only willing to fulfill the condition of returning these letters at the time of the ultimate geula. So we'll stop here, and the Mirtz Hashem will try to finish this at another occasion.